If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part. Now, you might say, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. No, you're complaining. Then it says, the people cried to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. So we see God's response to complaining in chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord sends fire because it angers him. Now watch this, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them began to lust. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, verses 1 through 3 said they were complaining and God judged them. They went to Moses. Moses prayed. God stopped. But as soon as the mixed multitude, that means those who were not Israelites, began to lust for the things of Egypt, the children of Israel cried again and began to complain, who's going to give us flesh to eat? Now notice what they say in verse 5. Complaining causes you to be illogical. When you seek problems, and some of us seek them out, we're always looking for what's wrong, it makes you illogical. Notice what they say in verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Look at the adjective. Freely. They were in bondage. You're not eating it freely. Listen to what they say. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. We remember all of those delicacies that we ate freely. You weren't free. So every time the enemy has you think about your glorious past, and I'm being facetious, he will never remind you that you were in bondage. He will never remind you that you were not free. Now notice, this is when your perspective changes. But now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna. In other words, the blessing of God is no longer substantial. I want what I had when I was in bondage. I don't like the freedom of the spirit. I'm always going to find a problem. I'm always going to bring a problem, but never will I talk about the blessing of the Lord. Are there problems, Pastor? Yes. Should we deal with problems? Yes, but they are secondary to the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Find the blessing first before you find the problem. If you focus on the problem, then the problem will obscure the blessing. If the blessing is obscured, then you will never be in the position to receive from God, and all you do is pull others into your web of complaining. Now again, every child that is born with a sin nature because of Adam. That means genetically we have the propensity, the ability to sin. But not every child commits murder. Not every child commits a robbery. Not everyone. But they all possess the ability. Solomon says in Proverbs 4, guard your heart. How am I to guard them? I live in a world that is constantly demonstrating every attribute contrary to God. I am trapped. I hear cursing. I hear swearing. I hear disbelief. I hear atheistic, humanistic views. I hear all these negative things on a regular basis. How do I guard my heart? If my heart is the thing that gives birth to evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies, how do I guard it? And why has God made me so chameleon-like? Why do I have the ability to follow? Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Remember early in Numbers, the Nazirite is what? Separate. Then later on in Numbers 11, the what kind of multitude made the children of Israel frustrated again? Oh, you're with me. You see something developing as we go now to 2 Corinthians 6. Paul says in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what concord does Christ have with Belial? And what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not what is unclean, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Continue to chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I submit to you that the influences that Jesus addresses in Matthew 15, verse 19, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies, I submit to you that these things have no fuel without you putting yourself in a position to do them. And you will put yourself in the position to do them when you associate with people who do them regularly. Watch this. Go to Romans chapter 1. What does Solomon say? Guard your hearts. How do you guard those hearts? Well, in three cases now, we've seen where separation is essential for the believer. Not because we are better, but because we want to ensure that we don't become like those who exhibit the behaviors of the damned. Remember now, you already start out with a weakness. Where are we? Romans 1. Okay, verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. So after he gives us this entire discourse about behavior, focusing on many fleshly behaviors, he now says, not only do they do them, but they take pleasure in the people who do them. Why is this a problem? Because the enemy knows that if he can cause us to migrate towards certain behaviors, we will begin to approve of those behaviors by becoming desensitized to the Holy Spirit. That's why I mentioned last week about that television show and certain actions that Christians behold at some point. You may think that that particular scene in that movie or that particular action on that television show isn't injurious to you, but what it's doing is it's desensitizing you so that you will begin to applaud the behavior in somebody else. For example, a young man who jumps from girl to girl to girl to girl, or female to female to female to female, we call him now, he's called a player. Before, it was a derogatory word. But after seeing it so much and seeing it glorified in movies and television shows, he's now called a player. So if you examine our culture, that down through the last 15 to 20 years, we have begun to minimize ungodly behavior, and it's becoming acceptable. And what is Paul saying here? when we become so flooded by the actions of Romans 1 from verses 19 all the way down, what he's saying is we become so insensitive to sin that we can no longer feel the presence of God. You can commit sin with such a jaded soul that the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, cannot convict you anymore. You don't feel that sorrow that you felt at the beginning. You can stay out of church so much till you don't even miss the fellowship, and you'll justify it by saying, I have to do this. Amen. Now, what causes us to slip to that behavior? The associations that Paul addresses in Corinthians. Watch this. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Remember, what does Solomon say? Guard your hearts. Guard your affections. In other words, if I don't want bad stuff coming out, then I must ensure that bad stuff doesn't come in. And bad stuff isn't always hellish sin. There are some people that you have to remove yourself from, hear me carefully, because they are incapable of change. You think you have a lot of compassion, and so you continue to associate with those people, but they are not capable of change. And so every chance they get, or you might see a smattering of change for a few days, but the moment something negative happens, they slip right back into that caustic behavior. Now, here's the question. You don't go to God and ask the question, Lord, what's wrong with them? You ask the question, why do I continue to let this person have access to me? Why do I let them continue to text me or call me? Why do I continue to let them talk with me when I know the end result will be it will affect my soul and push me to behaviors that are not Christ-like? Watch. If you know you have anger issues, if you know you have the capability to go from anger to rage, and usually with rage there's a physical response, why continue to connect with someone who provokes your anger? Satan is using that person to pinch your soul and provoke you to a behavior so they can turn around and judge you for that behavior. But you're supposed to be a deacon. How are you going to talk to me like that? Why did you provoke me? But the bigger question is, why did I let you? One thing I like about iPhones, when you pull up a contact at the bottom of the iPhone, it says, block this caller. How many of you got some people that should be blocked? Now watch this. How many of you have blocked those people?
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10215A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord.